little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
I've talked a lot there about two aspects of that flow chart. I think it's difficult to teach that to trainees, but I think it's useful for you guys to think about those concepts so that you can do what you've asked me to do, which is, can we introduce a degree of flexibility to the rigid model? Well, yes, you have to, because that rigid model won't work for everybody by definition. So there has to be a degree of flexibility. But if you introduce flexibility straight away in ST1, then chaos will ensue.
I think it's the ice bit that's difficult, because quite often it's quite challenging to a patient and can be quite antagonistic to patients who don't know very well to start exploring that very early on in the consultation. Like you say, sometimes it's evident and sometimes it doesn't need to be explicit. You can say to them, you know, come with a breast problem. Is there any family history? Yes, you know, my aunt and my gran. And you don't need to, then it's, you know, it's just drilling for the world. And then were you worried that might be a case for you today? You know, a lot of it is quite subtle and implicit in what you do and what you say. And often, you know, is done more sensitively later on. And I think that's often a hurdle that particularly ST1s and when starting, if they're having difficulty, get stuck in even before they get to the doctor-centred bit and trying to do that too early. And no matter how they try, it comes across as quite challenging to a patient within the first few minutes of sitting there.
And of course, you know, they're asking me my thoughts.
Yeah, and it's difficult. I think I discourage it. So I think often it is soon.
But I would go back to my Costa conversation in the sense of, if you were sitting with that patient, you'd be saying, well, what do you think is going on? You know, what would you let the doctor do or something? You know, if you were talking...
Well, I want you to examine me, please, first. Thank you very much. And then tell me what you think. You know, so that's what I mean. Sometimes it's a bit, I think it feels more natural to have actually taken a history, focus history. If there's cues, yes, of course, pick up on them, expand on them, examine the patients, get the data, and then do it. Just me personally, I think things flow much better, particularly with patients who don't know well, when you're not asking. And I've had friends of mine who are non-medics, you know, come back and say, I went to the GP the other day. Are you guys just supposed to ask what we think? Because it was just really, just kept going on about it. And I was like, oh, really sorry, yeah, you know, I know it's weird.
But then that's,
yeah,
about,
you know,
that's about the way you explain the process. And of course, we don't ask that. I spend most of my time asking ideas, concerns, and expectations about management options.
Yes, again, it's...
Now, throw that into the mix and say, actually, you know, I'm doing ICE on management. That gets even more complicated then. So, you know, for example, a patient of mine who has really bad colitis, which is quite disabling. I mean, I'd be asking about his ideas, concerns, and expectations about the azathioprine versus the steroids versus such and such, because that's important. We're not like, what do you think about your bowels being bad in a minute? Well, I had that conversation 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, all I'm actually interested in is, how are you going to help me now? Well, what do you want me to do? What are your concerns? Why don't you want to take the steroids? Well, because I can't sleep, you know, because they give me this, that, and the other, so I don't really want those. Well, what do you want then?
It's relevant to what the presenting problem is at that time with the patient.
So are the trainees not quite getting enough experience of sophisticated consultations? They're being told what to do. They're being given a map of the way it should be done in a simple consultation, but they're not getting exposure to enough of the way that we could solve.
And I think the way around that, Keith, is Cambridge Calgary. I think it's rehearsal and role-playing stuff. So you take a consultation that maybe, as a trainer, it's very easy in some ways, because you can just think of a consultation that maybe you had some trouble with or went well or whatever, and say, here's the background. I want you to be the doctor, and I want you to ask me about my ideas and concerns. And then you can run it again and say, that didn't work very well, did it? Right, let's run it again and now I'm going to be a patient who might disagree with your management plan. Oh, Dr. X gave me that and it was rubbish. I never want to take that again. So you can role play those, and you can get an awful lot done in a role play rather than watching 20 minutes of video and saying, you need to find a challenging consultation. Well, where the hell am I going to get one of them from? So from a training point of view, there are some really helpful things that you could do. One of them is about explanations. So you can sit down with your trainee and say, right, I'm a 35-year-old man with high blood pressure. Explain the risks and things to me. I'm 17-year-old girl with chlamydia, explained the risk to me. I've just got this letter doctor which says I've got CKD3. Does that mean I'm going to renal failure? Now, those conversations are difficult. Those explanations are really hard. CKD is a nightmare for me. I hate it. I'm always falling over on it. But those things are really good for focused training and teaching. And in the same way, to take your point, Keith, you can take, you know, half a dozen cases where there is challenge. You can take that list and say...
But they also need an opportunity to see us doing it well as well, mm-hmm. to see where they should be pitching at, where they should be aiming to get towards. And we can role play, we can support them, we can be with them as they're consulting and then say, well, let's do that one again. I'm going to take the same patient and we've got enough leeway in this surgery, so I'm going to actually have another go with this patient. I'll show you how I might have done it. But just to have an opportunity to work with them so they're seeing how they work and we're seeing how they work and where they need to get from and to.
So role-playing, direct observation is really important. Focused case-based discussion is useful too. I mean, again, yesterday, I saw 6 videos yesterday, but I don't think I watched more than about 4 minutes of each one because I would get one bit and then I'd just stop it and say, right, how much do I know about this patient? You know, what's going through your mind at the minute? What's the next thing you're going to say? Why are you going to say that? Let's watch the next minute and see what happens. And then let's maybe role play it. How could you have done that differently or whatever? You know? And so you get very, very focused feedback in the first 3 minutes of the consultation, which is the most useful thing, certainly for an ST1 and often for an ST2 and 3. In ST3, it's like, let's go to 6 minutes and see where you are. Why are you still there? What's happening? How could you speed that up? Let's go back and look at that. And so you can take real stuff and work with it, as you're saying, Keith. I think with challenging patients, you have to simulate it to a certain extent because it's unfair in the trainee otherwise. You know, there have been video, they get a challenging patient, you know, they're not sure what's happening. We can laugh about it and say, let's do it again. Let's make myself a bit more aggressive or something. Or let's throw a few spanners in the works. And that works quite well. So rehearsal is really important. And I tell the trainees, I will be telling them tomorrow, that most trainers aren't up to speed with all the nuances of the CSA, and what you need to do is to take control of your trainer and to say, this is what I want you to do, I want you to help me X, Y, Z. And it's not stressful for you if a trainee says, can we do some explanations? Because you can easily jot down, you know, HRT, all the ones I've just gone through, because they're always going to cock it up. Well, just like you and I would, you know, I mean, I tend not to do it because I mess it up, and then they think I'm fallible. But I'm just joking. Let's hear it for our GP.